This is a post discussion of trying out AI lens. Okay, so what did we find out in that last session? What stood out? If anything.
So I think that the manipulating the level of control that you as a creator, imaginator, something want to have seems to be challenging, because to what extent you leave that to AI improvisation, or you want to regulate everything through the prompt or through the movement of the camera, as you said, or through the movement of the actors.
Mm.
Yes. I wonder how.
I thought the task that we didn't quite get around to that Helen suggested is of like shooting a very simple scene,
mm-hmm.
Would allow us to butt up against some challenges of control and human vision of what you want to make, as opposed to and what you butt up against in terms of the AI generation.
Mm.
I think that's something. There's a little bit of offline work in terms of figuring out what shots you want, what the look is. I think getting that off the hoof is a little bit challenging.
I guess maybe sort of repetition and rehearsal to work out what the system is likely to do then, because at the moment there's sort of no way of knowing, isn't there? So there's no grammar for working with it. But once you start sort of controlling some of the variables, okay, so this is the scene and this is the the characters and the action and what we want to get out of the scene, then by repeating, I suppose it'll be easier to work out.
And I think linking on from like getting the right prompts is interesting, because when you're trying to do a certain type of shot, like you say, like a 1970s style shot, it will also change the clothes.
Yep.
So it's hard to say, I want this to just affect the style rather than the whole image. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Again, the right prompts.
Yeah, because when you use the prompt of drone shot.
Yeah, well, there's still understood.
Yeah, exactly. it kind of got it, but it also wants to put a drone in, and I assume it would do the same with a helicopter.
Yeah.
So, does it make a difference if you hyphenate helicopter shot?
I've seen some people writing prompts where they basically break down the prompt into semantics of like style. Bracket style, and I don't know that actual grammar is just invented by the person writing the prompt, and the prompt is seeing, okay, this is a separate thing, and it's figuring it out. So I wonder if that, because it's mixing up style, content, and
so maybe that is a bit of the prompt engineering, is around training it that certain words relate to the background, certain words relate to, so it could be, you know, style equals, that's the, when I'm using style, that's the background, when I'm using, that's the, you know, so that it starts to learn
it's
that
worth trying.
Through.
Well, it's worth seeing if it understands it.
Understands it,
And so it's worth, we've got an, let's try that in the prompting session.
Yeah, and I think the idea of like having a few little scenes that are so there's really good what's called an audio description of live scenes that have been made now. So like for a blind person, getting something like that, grabbing a whole bit of text like that, thinking about what are the bits that star, what's the content, replicating a little bit of a scene and just seeing how well you're able to direct something, basically, and control the content that comes out at you. And I guess that thing about trying to slow down the change enough to like how slow do you need to go in order to get a kind of consistent to start bringing out a story, and how do you do that, or is it a new entirely new way of thinking about what a story might be using this aesthetic tool? So yeah, it's both sort of slightly forcing it with some existing techniques and then also thinking of how to adapt to its own affordances in terms of what you might create. Because I'm guessing that like it's something that worked really well with like a music video, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
that definitely. It could be so if you had a live sound feed, could it pick up on that and
you
do
could,
something?
You could ask it to program that in.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel, personally, I feel it could work so well for a music video that I want to focus
on something else.
On, because I think the challenge is, how do you make it like narrative? I think documentary would be a bit easier, but there's still things that, because if you were talking about something as you were talking about different subjects, they transformed.
Yeah.
That would be nice, but making that happen, that workflow is...
So that would be the getting the dialogue to be part of the prompting system. So that'd be taking in live speech,
maybe,
or being able to live
because I think there's a bit of
transcribe.
There's a bit of a translation between what's going to work well as a prompt and what we say.
Yeah.
To stop it being pure puns.
Yeah.
But could be just to the level of subject. When you're talking about subjects, it's like it's words around that subject.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing that I'm thinking about is how it might work as a performance.
Interesting.
So how would having that on a screen with live, maybe potentially improvised performance with actors and with gathered prompts, maybe with or selected prompts, what would that do as an installation that could be very interesting, that could be about, you know, placing people in different environments?
There was a bit of that in Embrace Angels, wasn't there? It for me, it had that feel on the big screens because it was mirroring the live.
Yeah,
I missed that bit of my experience because they forgot to put it through because they were like suddenly got really busy, didn't they? And then they forgot to sit us down and watch what we were.
I think it was different every time.
Was it?
And they were discovering how to.
I wonder if from the image you are seeing, you can deduce what the prompt was. If there was a change, because I saw that several times, like, oh yeah, so now the show has introduced the sci-fi element because we are no longer in the beach. And if just having some sort of critical exercises about that would help us to think about stereotypes too.
I mean, that certainly started to come across, didn't it? The role of bias in what the system was producing and how we would have to account for that in the prompting
which everything. Is in and of itself a very interesting finding, isn't it? Or an interesting thing to work maybe against about how do you work to interrogate and also reverse some of those things that are happening in your prompting. Can you in fact do that?
Practically it's just something you have to do.
You're gonna have to be accounting for it all the time, aren't you?
And so
but could we defeat it though? That's the thing. We're like, what were the prompts and the bits that make it stop doing that? So again, sort of wrestling with it.
So with Embrace Angels, something I noticed is the more complicated the prompts, the more interesting the images become. Maybe rather than I guess when it's single words, it's quite generic what comes out, and it's very stereotypical. Skewed, and so you rather using one word, using five or six words which are all in that space but more specific within that space, might make something more interesting.
It because I think lots of these prompts were a lot less abstract than like Embrace Angels. So like you say, you couldn't tell a difference when the prompt had changed quite easily. But in Embrace Angels, it's much harder because the words are much more abstract. It's not just changing it to sci-fi all of a sudden.
So yeah, it's emotions and entangled and but then one or two quite like I think there was lots of hands and holding which turned everything into fingers. Whereas we're thinking in a filmic practical view,
but again it's is it sort of unthinking or rethinking how you'd approach things like casting then as well, because the whole point of casting is that the sort of the physical embodiment of the character is a really important part of it. And so either you would keep with that system for this, in which case you wouldn't want to lose those elements that you've selected the performer for, or you rely on AI to give you those elements, and then you know anyone could be any character, but what are you losing by doing that if it's purely the AI that's doing it?
I think the question is the question is like what is performance and like as an actor, what does that mean to them? I see a little bit like when we have performance artists and doing mocap, where they accentuate their breathing, they accentuate movements that read better for that technology. And so what do actors have to change to make their performance read better with this technology?
And we were beginning to experiment with that, but it seemed very, very difficult to control, but of course we're not performers.
And I mean, I think it would be an interesting thing for you is to work with a very skilled improv performer, because I think it would be that kind of person who you'd need, who was then improvising something in response to it, who is interested and then could also do mini devising with you. I think that'd be really interesting. I'm trying to think who that somebody like from the secret cinema world might be, or some of the folk that are working with what's it called, immersive.
Jessica Milford does a lot of improvisation. He was in Before We Disappear.
Oh, right, yeah.
Got quite a good relationship with her.
Yeah. It's worth, bringing somebody in who can, you know, and also like someone who's can also articulate out loud. And this is what I'm doing now. I'm thinking about this. I'm working with this bit of it, and I'm now trying to take it in this direction. And you folk do X, Y, and Z around me in order to support that. So, get TV workshop kids in here, and get them working with an improv person.
I think you're right. And somebody from like that kind of immersive. What's that? What's that festival that happens? It's all immersive. Stuff.
Oh, the immersive, the summit.
No, it's like a yearly festival, like music festival.
Oh yeah.
But it's like everyone just LARPs.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's in July, isn't it?
Boomfest, is it?
Boomtown.
Boomtown.
Boomtown. Yeah.
Because they've got like a whole group of people who that's like what they do.
Yeah, and the Me, You, Bum Bum Train. Me, You, what's that? Those
I've
never people.
I passed the event, but I didn't know what it was. Saw the words.
Yeah. I mean, you can still volunteer to go and be a volunteer in You, Me, Bum Bum Train. Yeah, it's a one-on.
Are they still making them?
They were just until recently, definitely, yeah. Because Asha Easton's done it quite a few times as a volunteer, so Sarah Tico.
My brother-in-law did it as a violin player in the orchestra, this was years and years and years ago.
Really, yeah. So there are folk around. The company that's doing all of the really high quality immersive experience, like the Immersive Gatsby, and they did the Doctor Who one. They're called Immersive Everywhere, and we've got a good relationship with them, so they might know somebody in this region who could come, who they've worked with. Because yeah, it's someone who's got that, somebody's doing X, and also this is my context, I need to behave slightly differently. And then yeah, it's like how do you tell a story? Documentary, can you, so if you're doing a documentary, is it, what are the affordances that you're going to be working with there? Are you thinking about location and recording?
I think with a documentary it has to be really conceptually devised before going into it, of how it works, how the prompting works, what that whole system is of people, and who knows, because I wouldn't be I wouldn't be directing or making it, but I'm going to offer that as a
choice.
As we'll be interested in commissioning one.
It's like I'm thinking about, you know, there's some of those 360 experiences that we've just watched that are part of the Nottingham Film Festival, and the way in which they're using virtual reality 360 filming to do elements of immersive documentary, aren't they? Or better or worse conceived, but sort of how would this give you a very different way in of doing some of the things that they were trying to do? So there was the skateboarding one, wasn't there?
I've not seen many of them.
Haven't you? Just made that aesthetic choice already.
Well, no, it was slightly weird on the day. I think Mark needs convincing, I think, that those are kind of, that those films are sort of what they want, because it's the more sort of interactive experiential stuff, I think, is what they were expecting. So so we didn't really get round to talking about those submissions
I think most of the effort was just getting the other ones into them and working and then getting their head around what these are, because
digress into talking about them, because they want to talk about your project.
I mean, something like a skateboard video. That's like a music video. It's like there's a lot of style.
Yeah. That it's automatically going to be good at. So, is it good for a nature documentary? What would that do? What would that? Could it do a place based? What is it like to be in this place? But
I mean,
thinking
I think
historically
it would be something
about
else,
this place.
Wouldn't it? It pushes the idea of documentary, because what you're seeing is not reality.
That's what I was thinking. It's about a different way of communicating that subjectivity. But no documentary is ever reality, because there are all the decisions about editing and what you choose to include and what you don't, and all those other things. So how actually could this technology almost bring that more to the fore?
Yeah, make
in
that
a
obvious.
Make
yeah.
it more
yeah.
obvious to a viewer.
Yeah. That's a very Zizek sort of perspective.
I think whatever it does get made, it's like the way it's made through AI lens becomes part of it in terms of subject matter and what's talked about. So
I mean, there's some of the things that you've already said, is that it's almost as if it lends itself to certain kinds of filmmaking or creative screen production, like music videos. So pushing it into something else, but still working with the affordances, because that's what you want to be doing, isn't it? You're trying to bring the technology into the space of creative practice there, aren't you? So yeah, it's like,
I mean, you could create like a list of what it does as, and then next to like almost filmic techniques like transformation, dissolves from one location to another. And by workshopping it, you could make that almost like dictionary of things that it does.
And maybe the particularities of how it's doing those things. Yeah, but what I really feel you need are some creatives responding to the affordances of it.
And I guess this leads into like design of a workshop with filmmakers and what structuring or scaffolding we need to build around that so that the interaction doesn't come up against something like, oh, actually we have to go away and come back to the case. Like what we found there, we could really do a storyboard here and we could...
So I think if you're workshopping with creatives, so there's different kinds, aren't there? So like I've just suggested a performer as your creator, sort of really thinking about what kinds of performance it enables or performance-led prompting, which would be really interesting, wouldn't it? You know, particularly if you could have someone articulating what they're doing. Like even a dancer might bring a different sort of performance vocabulary that might lead to interesting prompts. And then there's people who are those that sit behind the lens who might be thinking about, okay, so what do they need to bring? They might need to bring already a storyboard of some form and then think about how that's not, with you having given them some guidance on what they'll need and what will work. So there's a bit of work to be done, isn't there, in terms of getting to that point yourself of being able to instruct them in their preparation.
Yeah,
to know what to bring with them and what they're going to encounter.
And I mean, I feel like in the space itself.
Sorry, it's take longer than expected. So sorry about that. Supposed to be 1 hour. Yeah.
We're just discussing. We just had like a practical session in here, and we're discussing the findings from that, and at the minute talking about workshops that might happen and what would need to be done for those workshops. One thing I noticed in this space is like, because we're seeing everything, that was a bit of a limitation for the backgrounds.
So could you set up the green screen space as where you're principally working, which I guess was what Davith was
We could do. So I shot the, I don't know if you saw that first video that I did for the introduction to AI lens where I was in front of that. So it does just make it a, you can use it as a green screen. When it's just black, it's just black. So you can separate that model. We could then shoot it with, if it is just green, you can then key it afterwards. I think it's, what's interesting is interactions with background materials and so
again, like if you were doing a workshop, it might be about thinking really carefully about the set.
I was thinking about projection actually. Like we could back project, we could easily set up a back projection screen. One thing we didn't look at is lighting. Lighting really translates really well, so if you work creatively with that lighting, that goes a long way.
Now if you want to exclude something, because I think that I missed that part of the glasses, so we don't want glasses, but you are mentioning the
it doesn't understand like sentence structure. You say no glasses, it says no and it sees glasses. So it puts glasses on, it doesn't know what to do with no. So everyone gets glasses.
Is there a way to, through a code, to...
Usually with AI, you get a negative prompt, and there's no negative prompt with this. So it's... That's a limitation, for sure.
But it did seem to respond differently if you were wearing glasses in the real world or not. So even if the prompt was the same, it was still treating the faces differently. It wasn't just automatically.
Yeah. So I guess I think it was Antarctic. I was wanting to give you glasses because I think I was seeing you as having short hair, maybe seeing as your coat is like a researcher's coat or something. Mm-hmm. And then going, okay, well, male researchers in Antarctic.
They'd all have glasses, surely.
So, there's a lot of assumptions that go all the way through. And we found, with Embrace Angels, when we were doing something similar, the word skin was in there. And we're getting a lot of guns everywhere. Yeah. And it took a while for us to realise that a skin in video games is basically the texture, either on bodies or on weapons. Mm-hmm. And they were schematics of guns. So it was pulling from the skin files for the AK-47 skin file.
Yeah.
Okay, that's so interesting.
That's where.
So it's not just human photographs. Yeah. It's taken like files from video game projects.
Yeah. We had an interesting moment when we put the chair and it didn't get the bottles or the
objects on the chair.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe because they were not usually put together. And then we put the notebook and here and said, oh, maybe it's easier to find that background or that input of having paper. So I wasn't sure if it was a question of contrast, because this one was more like visually perceivable, let's say. But why it didn't capture the bottle, but
it's almost like we're going to be designing for each shot, each discrete, what is in each shot. If it's somebody looking through a book, it's going to be a completely different prompt from somebody, like a two shot of two people talking, and we're adding details in the prompt as well, and that prompt will include some of the actual objects that we can see to back up what those objects are.
Yeah, so if you included the word gun, would any object in a hand become a gun?
Yeah.
I guess it is all quite stereotypical, like I've been saying, so the images it's seen of a chair are just plain chairs, so it's not used to seeing a water bottle on a chair, which goes to all the stereotypes. I think it's just everything it's kind of seen from the internet to learn is all stereotypical. So to do something that's completely unique, it probably struggles with.
Although from Embrace Angels, the stuff that we're seeing is like really out there.
Yeah, I guess abstract works well.
But it then transformed the chair into a table at some point. Kind of, where do you put things on a chair or on a table?
Oh. We've worked against each other there.
I think that's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot to think about, isn't it, in terms of designing the next phases. What do you want to do this afternoon? Have you already decided?
I was just going to look.